Hello and welcome to this episode of The Perceptive Photographer. I'm your host, Daniel Gregory. I hope you're having a great week and thanks for spending a few minutes of your week with me here on the podcast. I really do appreciate you tuning in and seeing what we have going on here. This week I wanted to talk about, it's a side tangent to one of the things that I think is a challenge for a lot of people when working in their photography and working in their creative practice, and that's the editing or the creation of a series of photographs to hold together as a body of work, whether it's for your website, portfolio, maybe you're pulling them together just for a book for the holidays for the family, or you're trying to do an editorial sequence, whatever it is, but pulling together those photographs. And I've been interested in the layered nature of this process because we create the photographs, we have to put them in some type of organizational system, we have to make the selection of what those images are, we have to put them in the right order. And I got to thinking about all the elements that come into play to actually make that happen. And two of the layers, as I was kind of peeling back and trying to identify the complexity of all of that process, I came up with two kind of big buckets I wanted to talk about this week. And one is the germination or the seed of the idea. And where do the ideas come from for the photographs or from the series or body of work that we're going to create? And then how do we go about expanding and then contracting the series? So we have to get a bunch of information in, and then we have to somehow pinpoint that down to a small set of images or a small concept that we want to focus on. And how do we go about doing that? And I think those two are somewhat related, which is why I wanted to talk about it this week. And it's also, I think, an interesting subject because I hear a lot of people occasionally say, I just don't know what to photograph. I don't know what to take a picture of. I feel like I'm stuck. I have like photographer's writer's block. What's interesting is the writers I know who write all the time never suffer from writer's block. They may not write anything interesting. They may not write anything good, but they write all the time. And I find it's interesting because a lot of photographers, I think, stop shooting. When they get photographer's block, they stop photographing. When really, if they just kept photographing, even if it was bad photographs, they would still be in the act. So that alone, I think, is an interesting shift for you to consider if you consider yourself photographically blocked. Is, are you truly photographically blocked, or are you just choosing to not to pick up the camera? Outside that little sidebar, I think what's interesting about ideas is where do our ideas come from to photograph? How do we conceptualize and create the ideas that we attempt to go out and photograph? Where do they come from? And I wanted to focus on two big buckets. The two big buckets are idea creation and idea collection. And I know there's probably 1,000 other ways we create and generate ideas, but I want to focus on these two because I think they're sort of interesting. And it's how a lot of, I think, of us visually relate to things. The first one is the idea collection. Idea collection is when we go out into the world and we look at existing things that are out there and we source them in. We try to bring them in. So we make clippings, we make tear pictures out of magazines, we might bookmark websites, Pinterest, whatever it is. We collect and organize things that have been out already existing in the world. What this allows us to do is start from a non-empty canvas. We start from a known spot. We have some source of inspiration that allows us to extend or replicate or diverge from because it's something we don't want to do. But that source material comes in a way that allows us to experience, see, and feel what's already out there. For a lot of people, that becomes a source of inspiration because they're able to piggyback off and jumpstart off of the existing idea. So that's one way that I think we come up with ideas for how to create photographs and how we find meaning in photographs. It's also how we might start to work on a series, which is the original question for this podcast, which is how do we go about making some of those decisions? We may start off with an already existing notion that we've seen somebody else do, and we want to expand it further. We want to slice a part of it out. We want to focus in on a specific aspect of it. Whatever it is, we start in with something. The other side of that is the idea creation. And this is where you start with the blank page. And in some ways, what I find interesting photographically about this is that the blank page is one of the ways that I think operating allows you to work at a subconscious level instead of at a conscious level. Where if you're going out and doing idea collection, you're attempting to bring all those things into the forefront and you're basically inundated with that visual imagery from the start. If you start with the blank page, what you're starting with then is a subconscious remembering of all of that information. So it's asking you to create something new. It's saying based on elements and different parts of what you remember, can you pull those together to coalesce into a new idea or a new concept? We are always going to be influenced on some level by the things we've been exposed to before. what makes it interesting in the new idea generation is that it truly is something that we haven't seen before, we haven't experienced before. It oftentimes starts off as pretty hazy or foggy because it's not known yet. It's an unconceived idea. We have to figure out and flesh that out. So in some ways, that if we did idea creation first and then went to idea collection, that might be a more interesting order because we would then be looking for imagery that helps us clear the haze, so to speak. Or, you know, maybe it is better that it just stays hazy and then through our own shooting and own experience of trying to figure out what that idea was, we end up with something new and original. What I think really matters is that we figure out that somehow we come across an idea that we want to experience. And that is a divergence of concept. So in the world of creation, in the world of creating, what we're experiencing is a divergence of ideas. We want to widen the field as far as possible. We want to get as many divergent positions and ideas and options available to us. And then we'll hit a tipping point where we're going to converge those back down. And this comes into the editing of the sequence and series. And this is why I think the idea part is so important, because we need the ideas to diverge us far enough apart that we actually can encompass something interesting and unique to the story we want to tell. We're able to create a sense of being, a sense of understanding of who we are and what the work is that we're creating, and we're casting an incredibly wide net. We don't want to not explore something, and we don't want to miss out on something. So we're going to widen that path as far as possible, which is why idea collection and idea creation is so important. We want to make sure we're continuing to push those different points. At some point, we need to converge that back down, and this becomes a tipping point. This doesn't change the creativity aspect of it. It doesn't change the way of being an artist. It doesn't change style, voice, vision. It doesn't change anything. But when we move from an expansion point of an idea or concept into a narrowing and focusing down. So this is where, when we come into editing and sequencing and things like that, we have to take all the options available to us, and we start to chisel away at what's no longer appropriate, what's no longer of value, what's no longer making sense. The phrase you'll hear sometimes is you have to be willing to kill your babies. What that means is your favorite photographs, your favorite paintings, your favorite writing sometimes doesn't work. And while it's important and it's significant to you, in the body of work you're creating, as you're now converging down to a singularity, a single point of pressure, a single point of concept, sometimes those things don't fit in. And we have to be willing to cut those so that we get the most effective story. We get the most effective photographs in that sequence or in that series or in that portfolio to tell the story and convey the meaning we want. Recognizing that tipping point, I think, is important because it's a point of realizing that we have enough done that we're ready to take the next step. And what creativity is a series of expansions and contractions. Our photography is a series of create the photographs, edit, and narrow the photographs. Create photographs, edit, and sequence, and narrow the photographs. So we just do this kind of ebb and flow over and over again. The challenge becomes, how do we go about doing this in a meaningful way? How do we go about recognizing the tipping point? How do we recognize when we have enough? How do we recognize when we don't have enough? I think that's one of the big challenges. At the same time, we have to recognize that a lot of times we've already been working on a lot of different ideas and concepts. We just haven't spent the time to really dive deep enough to recognize that those concepts are important or are significant yet in the body of work. And this goes back to, I think what I would recommend you do is homework for the week. This is one of the things I've started to do with my work, because I've been really processing this. I've been trying to figure out, like, is there an actual practical application to this rambling on rant I'm on today? Or is it just a rambling on rant with no specific meaning? And it turns out I think there's a couple of exercises you can do that I've been doing this week with my own work that I think could be insightful and helpful for you. One of which is to pick a singular word. Pick one word, no matter what the word is, no matter how random it seems. If you're like clown, whatever it is, and then go back through all of your work. And if you're working in Lightroom or you're working with contact sheets or you're working in Bridge or whatever you're working in, get yourself copies of the photographs and throw them all in from all of your photographs you're willing to go through, and find the photographs that just for some reason resonate with you with that concept. This is your idea generation. Go through and really look at, like, of all the photographs, and I mean all of them. So if you've got family photographs and travel photographs and commercial work, or you've got flowers and babies and sunsets, whatever it is, just collect, go through your entire collection to find all of those appropriate photographs. then start to go through and figure out which ones really resonate for some level on that specific word. So this goes back into the convergence. So we want to get the idea generation going up, looking at your existing work around a word or phrase or concept and across all of the work. That's the idea creation and idea generation aspect. And then once you get that bucket, start to narrow that down to say which of these five or seven photographs really resonate to the concept. I think you'll be surprised at actually how disparate photographs have similar feelings and responses for you. And what that's allowing you to do is start to see how you're responding to work, how you're relating to work, how you're relating to series of works, concepts. And maybe you can flush those out further, or maybe it just becomes the exercise of recognizing at what point do you think, oh, I have enough, or I need to continue to generate ideas, or how well am I able to cut out what are important and valuable photographs that don't fit. Can you make input and divergent decisions? And at the same time, can you make the convergence decisions? Can you make the decision to narrow the field of focus and narrow the frame? Because ultimately behind the camera, which is where it really is going to come into play as a photographer, is behind the camera, you're going to be taking in thousands of input decisions. Depth of field, frame, composition, the moment of timing, line, gesture, color, form, shape, all of those elements are inputs that come into the photograph. They are the things that make the tipping point of when you're actually going to push the button. That's the convergence decision. And once the convergence decisions happen, now we're in the downfall to getting to that photograph we want and narrowing it down through our editing choices. Are we making color black and white? Are we going to lighten or darken certain things? How are we going to correct for color? Are we going to post crop? Whatever we're going to do becomes convergence decisions. And if you can recognize how fast you can process input decisions, make a decision to go to convergence and how to get those into alignment, you might find that you get better photographs in the long run. And that's ultimately what this is all about. So all of the work to this point has been not just about the sequence and editing, which the inputs can help with and the version can help with, but can you get a better decision point behind the camera by recognizing at what point do you have all the necessary information to push the shutter to have that amazing photograph? So I would encourage you to spend some time this week really thinking about and doing some exercises around inputs, single words, and recognizing how to expand and contract your own photography, and then take that experience out and put it behind the camera. See if you can recognize and start to identify quickly what are all those input stimulus that allows you to hit that tipping point to make the decision to ultimately create a great photograph. I hope you have a great week behind the camera. Get a chance to spend time with family and friends and enjoy their company. You can always find us up on iTunes. You can find us up on Google Play and places podcasts are found. Have a great week, and I will see you next time.